Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
But I know in order for my mind and my body to come under subjection to the Holy Spirit, my actions, my behavior, my attitude, all of it's got to change. And it only happens by the renewing of my mind and what I'm calling in this series, mind management.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Let's go into a new sermon series with Pastor Rogers. This series goes along with Pastor Rogers' recent sermon series, Transform. This is Mind Management Part 1. Nothing changes until your mind changes. Let's go into the message with Pastor Rogers today.
It's not a matter of gathering information. Because I've been doing these Wednesday night studies right here, Bible class now, for 13 years. And for 13 years, for most every Wednesday night for 13 years, you got a little handout. Little PowerPoint, little handout. Fill in the blank. And if you kept them all, you got yourself quite a stack of information. My question is, what are you doing with what you got? How much teaching do we need? The Bible says, ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. We must get a hold of the Word of God and then push the apply button on it and change whatever is necessary to be changed. You're so nervous, you got so much ink in your pen, here's something to write. Nothing, say it out loud, nothing changes until your mind changes. People say, well, you know, I just didn't think, that's impossible. I just didn't think. I just told them off. Well, that's impossible. It had to go through your head. Nothing changes. Furthermore, mind management says this, and the Word of God is true about this, that you control and determine what goes in and what stays or what goes. I want you to get that tonight. You determine what stays and what goes. Now, this is an important factor. It's not on your paper, I don't believe, but in Genesis 2:5, the Bible says that God had a mist on the earth and there was no rain. Listen to this, there was no rain. Why? Why was there no rain? Because God could not find a man to work the ground. The literal translation says there was no one to manage the earth. He had given him dominion. He would give him dominion, which we'll see in a few moments. But at that moment, man was not in a place to manage what God was bringing. God refused to progress the earth because there was no management of it. Get this. Where there is no management, I don't care if it's in your personal finances, your home, your job, your church, what your own business, whatever that is, where there is no management, God purposefully restricts growth. Oh, God, bless me with more finances. He's not going to bless you. This is the principle. You need some Bible on it. To whom much is given, if you're faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many, much. There's the principle. Faithful over a few things, ruler over much. If you can't see to pay your tithes on the 10 bucks, why would God bless you to manage an increased blessing? And now the benediction. Get this in your spirit, whatever you mismanage. I'm talking about your mind now. We're talking about mind management. Whatever you mismanage, you lose. If you mismanage your mind, and most people are doing that, you'll lose your mind. And James declares that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Well, I don't even need scripture for that. People are doping it up and mething it up and all kinds of mind-altering drugs and things that are going on today, and they don't know if it's Thursday or Monday. And I'm saying to you, I'm not just blaming it on the drug activity. I'm talking about the silly, mindless, or what the Bible calls vain thinking. Like the Gentiles, he says, think. Like folks that are out in the world think. Just mindless palaver. Just take my mind, just turn it loose and do whatever. Well, I'm going to tell you something. It's never loose. The devil will take it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me show you what your assignment, your management assignment is. Everybody in this room. First of all, and this is the management assignment given to Adam in the beginning. Before Eve ever hit the earth, God gave this management assignment to Adam. First, he says in Genesis 2:8 that God created the garden. He made the garden, and then he took man and put man in the garden. Put him into his presence. I'm reserving all of it, all of the preach right now in all of that. If you haven't heard that message back to Eden, you should get it. This past January, I preached on that. Back to Eden, the presence of God. That's where we're supposed to be. As a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, they are literally fighting in the area that the physical Eden would be located geographically right now. The work, he says in Genesis 2:15, he said, I'm putting you in the garden to work it. So before a woman, gentlemen, you want to know why your woman's frustrated? Because you're not. Now you men don't shout me down all at one time. Watch this right here. If he would have said, I put you in the Garden of Eden to hunt, to fish. Listen to them. Hallelujah, I'm getting it. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. No, first thing God gave to man was work. First thing you ought to ask the man before he marries your daughter is, have you got a job? Do you know your work? And I'm just going to tell you, even though you may be out of a job currently, doesn't mean you shouldn't be working. Rake the yard, dig a hole. Come on, somebody. Fix the steps, do something. Because man finds his purpose in his work. And when man doesn't have his work, he abuses everything around him. Beats his wife and his children, tears up the house, and then has to rebuy all the stuff that they broke. I'll preach that another day. Then he said, I want you to work it, and I want you to cultivate it. I want you to care for it. This is the job assignment that God has given, the work assignment God has given to every man. The management principle and the assignment is to guard it, to protect it. I want you to think of it in light of your mind. Let me back up. In light of your mind. Keep your mind in the presence of God. The word work there means to become. Become what? In your mind. You become what you're supposed to be in your mind before you ever are that. Before a millionaire became a millionaire, he was already that in his mind. Before you did what you did, before this man right here had another, how many different locations you got? Four. I didn't know that. That's great. You added another one, I think. Four different locations. I promise you, before he ever put the second one into place, it was already in his mind. Are you hearing me? Care for it. Cultivate your mind. Do you know what cultivate means? Plow the ground. Plant the seed. Get the weeds out. Come on now. Guard your mind. Protect your mind. This is the assignment for every one of us. Do what? He says it's your responsibility to keep my commandments while you're in my presence. How do I do that? I read the Word of God. How do you know what the commandments are if you don't read? Well, I come to church. You can't get all of those things in a... You got to get your own fork and knife out and feed yourself. And then this revolutionary, incredible thing. He said, I'm giving you 6 days to be responsible, and I'll take the seventh one. God said, you be responsible for 6 days, and I'll be responsible for the seventh one. I don't think you got that really good. God said, I want you to rest on the seventh day. I'll be responsible for taking care of you. Listen, we're right now in the season of Yom Kippur. I just read it before I got here. As soon as they began here within hours, the entire city of Jerusalem and Israel, for that matter, is going to shut down. Be responsible. 6 days of work. Isn't that a revolutionary thought? Our government right now is trying to figure out how we can do a 4-day work week. And we continue to rebel against the known will of God. And now the benediction. What's this all about? It's all about mind management. Because we are, listen, that's the reason why I don't get very many amens on that. Because we're so far off of the bubble, off of the marker, that whenever you start reading biblical principles into the society we're in right now, it's so foreign that they can talk a good game, but they never change their mind to comply with the Word of God. But let me tell you what's going to stand when all else fails. When the world is on fire, the Word is still going to be alive. Thy Word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven. So what he said is going to come to pass. And it's critical for us to understand that God is more interested in changing your mind than your circumstances. Oh, God, get me out of this. He said, no, I'm going to keep you in it so it'll change your mind. Then I'll show you my deliverance and you'll give me... Listen, somebody testified to me today that they were within 30 seconds of losing the contract that they had worked on for more than a year. 30 seconds. When the wire transfer and the transaction took place, there was 30 seconds left before the other party was going to cancel. Now, why does God do that stuff and make you bite your fingernails and break out in cold sweats and you got to get a cold rag and you're praying like you never have? You ask everybody to pray and you couldn't find anybody to pray. In fact, why does God do that stuff? To renew your mind. This individual came, stopped by the office and needed to see me. So I got to see you. We're within moments. My phone's blowing up. I just need God to intervene in this situation. I happen to be on the phone. I invited him into the office. Sit down. I'm trying to get the person off the phone that I'm on with to be able to communicate, and I couldn't. So the phone was blowing up with the person in my office. They just said, I'll see you, and got him left. Why does God do that? So that when it's all said and done, he gets the glory. No man did that. I tried to get my preacher to pray and he was on the phone. I called all my prayer partners and I got a busy signal. Nobody understood what I was going through, so I just decided to get out on my face and say, God, if you don't do it, it can't be done. And then suddenly God shows up to show you I am still in charge of it.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the Word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.